For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, welcome to Nijin Footy Fridays. I'm Sam Wykes. Alongside me is my Cook Island colleague, Chinirao Arona, and we're bringing you the biggest rugby league and rugby union stories from right across the Pacific. Big T, our Friday shows are back. And honestly, I think it's the best way to kick off the weekend if you're a rugby union and rugby league lover.
My favourite day of the week, Sammy. Kia ora and welcome to all our listeners across the Pacific. Happy Friday, mate. Nijin Footy Fridays. We are back and
back,
we
baby.
Are 48 hours away from NRL Round 1 kickoff in Las Vegas. Feels like we just watched the Brisbane Broncos win the premiership, and then we blinked, and then we're back again.
Back here. Do you have any, FOMO from not being there this year? Because it's your anniversary, one-year anniversary of not being in Vegas. So,
FOMO, seeing a few photos of, you know,
because you were supposed to go, but you've decided to stay
here. But yeah, look, it's
for the show.
Very exciting to see some of those videos of the players and the fans all in Las Vegas. But again, I'd much rather be here in studio with you, Sammy, because we have a big show lined up.
I love you, man.
And when I say big, I mean big Fijian joining us, superstar,
yes,
back again for 2026. Nemani Nandolo Kurundrani will be joining us live from Fiji to cover all things Super Rugby. I'm keen to hear his story on the Fijian Drua and what's his
going
views
on
how they're traveling, and you know, is there some positive signs leading into the rest of the season, because they haven't had the best season, Sammy.
You're not wrong, mate. So we'll get it's still only round two, round three this week. So we'll get into it with him. Obviously, we're going to cover Vegas. We've got our tipping as well.
Yeah, we're going to
change it just slightly.
Tipping comp this
bit
year.
Going on there. But
and actually, what are we playing for this year? Because we're doing a jersey for the Give Me Three on Mondays.
Do you know what? Let's just stick with a good feed, a good Pacific Island feed with Ortei.
And you bring in, last Friday show,
yes,
you bring it in.
Of your choice. Okay, let's do that.
And then on our future show, she ain't joining us today.
Sala's back?
Yes, she's back. She's agreed.
Yes.
But
tough negotiation, that
there's
one.
There's more games next week to cover in round one NRL. So we said, we'll save it for next Friday. I'll cover today's rugby league. Give her a rest.
Rugby league.
And then we'll go with Nemani Nandolo Kurundrani for the rugby union.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. Valentine Holmes here from the Cowboys. And you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Yeah, big Val Holmes, isn't he? He's injury-free, ready to go?
Injury-free, ready to go. That back line for the St. George Illawarra Dragons.
They are
looking dangerous.
Well, talk to me. We want to kick off with Vegas. Three big games over there as well. We've got the Super League game between...
we've got Hull KR versus
Leeds Rhinos. Yep.
We have the North Queensland Cowboys versus the Newcastle Knights. And then we have the Bulldogs versus the Dragons to wrap us up in round one... Well, I'd say week one, round one, NRL in Las Vegas. But
before we get into it, I just want to ask you, just because of the hype for me seems like it's sort of fizzled a little bit compared to previous years. Is that because of potentially the teams that are over there at the moment and the way they finished in previous seasons, so it's not as much hype? Or is it the same narrative around, hey, man, you guys are tough, you don't wear pads? Like, it's like, I keep seeing that. Is that what I'm feeling, or... am I totally wrong here?
Nah, I think you're totally wrong.
Fair enough. Let's get into the games.
I've seen some reports of Dana White. He's said to the stadium in Las Vegas to hold his suite free because there could be an opportunity where he makes it work. And Dana White, being the president of the UFC, one of the biggest rising sports in USA, he'd be there to watch this round one kickoff.
Okay.
There's also talks around... yeah, how do they get the president there, Donald Trump. How does he get
Donald
to
Donald Trump? They want him there at the game.
They want him there. Op. So
I heard The Rock was another one that they're trying to get.
The Rock?
Yeah.
That'd be a good get.
But anyway, there we go. Well, you've debunked that for me. There's still a lot of sizzle
hype
in the sausage and over in Vegas.
If it does sizzle out, I know, you know, the big man Peter Volandis will start sorted. Looking at other opportunities.
Tokyo, get to Miami. Tokyo. I'm telling you, get to Tokyo.
Tokyo?
Get there.
Miami, Dubai,
Hawaii,
Cook Islands.
Yep. Okay. Sweet. Well, let's get into the footy. Who are you going to cover first?
Well, before we go into the games, the two games in Vegas, I thought we'd give our best three players, or three players to look out for this season, 2026 yep. season. You know, who's the Indonesian player to look out for? Who's going to have a big year? Which rising star, so a rookie in the NRL competition, who's yet to maybe only played a handful of games or is yet to play and to look out for. And then the last one, you know, a bit of a comeback season or, you know, faced adversity last year through injury or not had the best season, who's going to have that breakout season this year. So
I like it. I love it.
I want to start with the player who's going to, the Indonesian player who's going to have the big year. You know, there's a few names to run out. So players like, I think, Mark Nawanganitawase, his name was brought up a lot last year. But you have to just look across the field. Daniel Tupou, you know, them two. I think when you add Daddy Cherry Evans, Sam Walker, that spine.
Spew and Reece Robson is injured at the moment for the first few rounds to see how that connects.
That's all right because Benaya just steps up.
Fair enough.
Come on, there's your Samoan hooker right there.
There you go. Beautiful.
But I think they're going to have big years because Daly Cherry Evans, their kicking game. Yeah, getting them some points on the board. Don't be surprised if one of them are the top try scorer at the end of the year. But my player to look out for this year is Jerome Luai. Yeah, switching to from 7 to 6, just to see that trial that he had and
that footwork that he put on
them involvements.
Cleary to be able to get Nathan it to Hemasi.
Well, it's taken away.
And he looks like he's in good shape too.
In number 6, it takes away that responsibility of having to guide the
team
around.
Yeah.
Now he can just play eyes up footy when he sees space, give
instinct,
him the ball
go.
And let him do his thing. That's why he had won 4 competitions in a row. No,
I think the Tigers are going to really improve off the back of his performance.
And just takes away that responsibility and he'll just play free footy. So Jerome Luai is my player to watch for 2026. And my rookie of the year to look out for, Nijan rookie. Now, there's a few names here, so I just have to pick one out of these names. But Setu Tu, who is making his debut for the St. George Dragons.
Is it his Illawarra debut? Dragon.
It's his debut. And
fill us in on that story. What a story.
When you hear his story, he gets called into the office. It's on the Dragon social media. He gets called into the office. He thinks that he's about to get a spray for doing the wrong thing at training or in the game from his coach, Shane Flanagan. He sits down. Shane Flanagan says that you're going to Vegas. You'll be making your debut. And he just, you know, you see the emotions come out of him and he, you know, there's tears there. And you just think about the sacrifices that he's thinking in his mind to get to that final opportunity or finally get that opportunity to play NRL. So,
well, some of those sacrifices, have a look at it. I've just got it up there. So when he was 8, he blacked out during a game. And so he wasn't allowed to play contact sport after that. Tragically lost his mum at the age of 12. Moved between family homes in Samoa. He moved to New Zealand at the age of 15. His older brother adopted and supported the family. Developed severe anxiety and, you know, just went through a whole experience of during that period. He's just gone through the ringer. And to be able to get a debut after thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to get dropped here. Like after all of that, it's worth it.
Yeah.
In his mind, it's worth it.
Man, what a moment. Just what a moment for him, for his family. Yeah, looking forward to watching him play this whole, not only this game and making his debut, but in Vegas. Oh, that's just,
how
that's
special
just,
is
let's
that?
Let's just remind everyone, he's making his NRL debut in Vegas. Now, not everyone gets that opportunity. So what a special moment for Setu.
I'm just thinking about that now as a 37, turning 38-year-old. When you think about making that, mine was in South Africa. Like as in in Bloemfontein against the Cheetahs, and you just go, that's a story where it's like, man, I was actually in there playing. But to say, yeah, my debut was in Vegas, like that's going to be special for him to reflect back on in the next sort of 10, 15 years.
So one of my rookies to look out for, Setu Tu. There's also a young kid coming through at Dolphins. He has had a couple games for the Knights, Sebastian Sua. He's one. You've also got Cooper Bai, the Gold Coast Titans. Watch him make a big impact. Jermaine McEwen, I know he's played a few games at the Knights, but I'm looking forward to seeing him have another breakout season after already having a handful of games. He'll be one of my players to look out for this week when they take on the North Queensland Cowboys. But there is another kid that is coming through at the Warriors. His name is Eddie Edemaya Tuiava. And he, like, they've got Leka Halasima, they've got Dimitrik, but Eddie Edemaya Tuiava is the next one to come through in that, you know, those young rookies coming through to excite their fans. So look out for Eddie. They call him Goggins.
The Goggins. No way. Dave Goggins effect.
When I was in the Cook Islands.
No way.
I was.
Has he got that mentality?
He's got that mentality.
Wow.
He's that dog.
Whoa.
He's got that dog.
That's a big call.
So it's a quick story. I'm in the Cook Islands, driving around the island, and just drive past this big, huge kid running on the street in the middle of the day when the sun's out, hot, very humidity, 100%. I look at his face, I turn around, and it was Eddie, Big Eddie. And I pulled into the service station. My wife wanted an ice cream, so I've just turned around and said, we've got to go back and say hello to Eddie. So I've gone back, said hello, but that just shows.
Shirt off.
Shirt off, of course. Oh, but
how good.
The discipline, the good lifestyle habits that this kid has. And Sammy, on to my comeback player of the year. You know, a player who faced adversity last year, who I think is going to have a breakout season. There is a few here. I do love Helam Lukey at the Cowboys. You know, to see him go through his ACL injury, sadly had to go through that rehab last year, but to play now, be starting this weekend against the Newcastle Knights. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing his journey, because before he got injured, he was in that Queensland emerging scene as well. So, you know, does he get that opportunity this year or next year to represent his state? Helam Lukey, one to look out for. I think Savelio Tamali as well, you know, with his injury that he had in Vegas, unfortunately hurt his arm, you know, went down with his knee injury as well. Kitione Kautonga from the Eels, the Fijian back rower, he's got that X factor about him. And I know he did have a decent season last year, but he ended up getting that injury in the back end, which you know, he didn't get to finish the season. But I think if he's playing well, he will be one of the Eels' X factors. And if Eels are to break into that top eight, he'll play a big role there. But you mentioned this kid's name last week or the week before, said how fit he looked. David Fifita.
Oh, Big David, yeah.
Big David.
He was my comeback type of person. I'm looking forward to big things from David Fifita.
Looks like he's had a big preseason. He's now coached by Wayne Bennett, who, you know, seems to find ways of turning these players, who's probably not had the best chunk or season or those couple seasons with that with the potential he does have. I think that he's going.
What is it about Wayne with his personality type that allows guys like David and Payne Haas to draw to him and feel like there's comfort there?
Well, think of the experience that Wayne Bennett's got. You know, the amount of years that he's
coached. He would have forgotten more about footy.
The amount of years he's coached, but the different players that he's had to coach, the different personalities, the different time. So, you know, the cultures have shifted and changed over them amount of years that he's coached. He's had to learn how to adapt. He probably understands people more than the actual, well, people and players.
It's a good point.
So he probably knows how to get the best out of each individual just through the experience that he's had.
I would see that, like, of, yes, finding comfort with him, but also at the same time, you don't want to disappoint Wayne. Like, that would be the feeling that I would get as a player. I would hate for him to be disappointed in me, so I'm going to try and do everything I can to make sure that I play well for someone like him. But
even cultures as well, like learning how to deal with different cultures. You know, with our Pacific Island people, you know, that some of those kids aren't quite confident to, you know, express themselves. Yeah. And he probably brings that out of them.
Yeah.
And understand, okay, this is, you come from this culture. I've dealt with, or I've coached a number of Tongan people, of players, a number of Samoan players, and understand their backgrounds and, you know, how can I get the best out of these people. I think this is one of Wayne Bennett's strengths.
Hopefully he does, mate. And then David Fifita lines up for the Tongan side come World Cup, fit, ready to go. But what else have you got for us?
All right, let's get straight into round one, Las Vegas. We're kicking off Newcastle Knights versus the North Queensland Cowboys. Now, I'll start with the Knights. Expect to see the ball move. So from hearing some chats throughout their camp, a lot of their training has been, you know, those skills games. Yeah, how do they move the ball? How do they get the players?
Are they doing that? Are they doing that because they feel like they might not have the middles? Like, yeah, so they want a bit more of skill set compared to a powerful game?
Probably getting the ball to their strengths. Now, you look at their spine, fullback, Kalen Ponga, halves, Fletcher Sharp, Dylan Brown, all running players, players that can run the ball hard. So how do they get the ball to them to create space for their outside men? Their pack, led by Jacob Saifiti and also Tyson Frizzell, I think they go into, for them to be successful, they're going to have to get them on the front foot, but also do a lot of, you know, dirty work in the middle, in defense. And Jermaine McEwen, I know I mentioned him earlier, but he gets a start in back row.
That's
Evan McEwen's
brother.
Yep. Evan now signed to the Bulldogs, actually. So
I wonder what took her there.
Why are you saying that with a smirk on your face?
She's engaged to Finau Latu.
Oh, there you go.
Love brought her to the Dogs.
The Doggies, eh? But yeah, I think Jermaine's going to have another breakout season off the back of last year. Watch out for their spine to be able to give him space. And he's just a power runner. But yeah, he's my player to watch out for in the Knights this weekend. We'll shift over to the Cowboys. Similar to the Knights, a very strong spine with Scott Drinkwater, Jake Clifford, and Tom Dearden, who was State of Origin Player of the Year. He's a threat with the ball in hand, fast runner, can find opportunities. I think the key player for me there in their team, though, will be Jason Damololo, the leader of their pack. Yeah, if he gets back to inform Jason Damololo, where he was the best middle in the game, I think the rest of them follow, the rest of that pack follow, and then look out for the impact off the bench from Thomas Mikaele. He's got that X factor about him as well. Helam Lukey, again, another shout out to Helam because he makes his return off the back of last year's injury. The matchup in this game, I'm going to say, who scores the most tries out of Greg Marju or Murray Taulagi?
Oh,
that's the matchup. They both play on opposite ends of the field, though.
Great finishes.
But
does the field have anything to do with it? Shorten field?
The field will, which will shorten the space, brings in the sidelines, which means those teams who like to play outwards probably doesn't favour them.
Okay.
So, yeah, looking at both these teams who do like to play on the fringes, you know, how do they then just make it a little bit shorter?
What about our man, Donny Singe, who we've had on the show before, the strength and condition? I think he's doing a bit of mindset coaching there with the Cowboys. Knowing Donny and his philosophies around training, what are you expecting from the Cowboys with someone like him having fingerprints on how the season should be planned and how players should be preparing?
Yeah, look, looking previously at the Cowboys, I don't think they were ever strong starters of the season. I think they, from memory, I think they do end up coming good after, I think, that first month or two, similar to hopefully the draw. But does Donny Singer's mindset, we'll see, I guess we'll see.
Tom will tell, you know, but
When we will see it will be in that 70th minute.
Well, that's what I was probably looking for, more for the
to
back
the
80 end of the game.
Minutes, you know, where which team has the most
gas,
mental resilience and gas. So
nice.
That's where we'll see his value at the Cowboys.
Time will tell then, eh?
On to game two, Bulldogs versus the Dragons. Now, the Bulldogs, exciting strike weapons right across the field. but I'll start with their main two. Captain Stephen Crichton, you know, when he's on, he is the best centre in our game. And then the other one, Viliami Kikau, just got everything in his toolkit, offload, running game, aggressive. And
I hope he stays injury-free this year.
Yeah, I hope they both do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they do play a big role in their success. And they got the Bulldogs got off to a good start last year. They did go get knocked out in back-to-back games in the finals. So I'm sure that that's in the back of their minds, you know, how they finished last year. I do like their halves pairing as well, and Matt Bird and Lachlan Galvin. Do you see Matt Bird in that training?
When the place kick?
The bomb. It was in the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders indoor facilities, and it hits the roof. So the Matt Burden bomb, does it come out? Lachlan Galvin, you know, he's already, with all that noise that surrounded him when he transferred from West Tigers to Bulldogs, has now silenced. He's been 1 year at the club. You know, now he can just settle into his role, play his best footy. But my player to watch for the Bulldogs will be Marcelo Montoya.
I don't know how he balances his podcast with his wife and that banter and putting himself in the limelight like that and then coming to training and probably copping stick from the boys.
I reckon he just doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
He's that character.
But he's the man. You need those characters in
there. He's that guy with all the energy. I know he was probably a big loss to the Warriors because every time I went into the club, you could always hear Marcel. But I know that he can play footy too. Like, he can play footy. He does have that tough carry out of yardage. He does have that finish. So Marcelo Montoya, the Fijian, I hope we see him in a Fijian World Cup jersey as well at the end of the year.
Yeah, true.
We'll shift over to the Dragons. We spoke about Setu Tu. Now, their back line is scary. Christian Tuipulotu, Moses Sully, Setu Tu, Valentine Holmes as their back line. What do you, when I say those names, what do you think? What's first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, obviously, strike power. There's players that are experienced. There's points in that back line. As long as Christian doesn't do his try celebration, probably the best place to do it actually in Vegas with the money sign. But I'm going to be honest here. That's the upset for me. I think the Dragons are going to get it done against the Dogs. Don't laugh at me, Bruss.
I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing.
But I just think the Dogs are the biggest team going over to Vegas. It's all eyes on them. The other three are sort of like, I'm not getting out of bed really for them potentially.
Oh, they got Val Holmes, who did go there to play NFL.
Yeah, true. And I just think that it's like a siege mentality here. They're going to ambush the Dogs, the Dragons.
When you think of,
and I don't care what the Charity Shield result was, I just think that was a bit of mind games there. They would have got flogged throughout the week just to get them thinking they're not ready to go for this season.
Think back to Cronulla Sharks 2016. The underdog story, Sharks not expecting to win the competition, but think of their backline: Rick Letelli, Sia Fecky,
Val
Holmes, Gerard Bill. Now you put and Ben Barber at fullback.
Yep.
Those four, what they were taught in that year was a run, like they called it kamikaze. You just run off the back fence and get your team on the front foot.
Is that what Flano's going to bring?
I believe that he's setting up these players, Tuipulotu, Sully, Holmes, Setu Tu, to get off that back fence and get them on the front foot.
Yeah, love it.
Play down the other end, play the pressure game. But my player to watch for the Dragons, Luciano Leilua.
Lost 20 kilos.
He's up against Viliami Kikau. He's got the same tools in his kit bag with the offload, with the leg speed, with the bump to create space. But Luciano, look out for him for the Dragons. So
I'm with you there.
Two massive games to kick us off for round one, Las Vegas. How exciting. Less than 48 hours away. Let's shift over to rugby union before we get to who we predict will win these games at the end of our show.
Oh, I've already said mine. I've gone early on that one. But
you're going Dragons.
I'm going Dragons for that one. But yes, we're going to obviously talk more about the Fijian draw with Nemani Nandolo Kurundrani. But I want to shift our focus to Minor Pacifica. They've got the Western Force tonight, actually. First home game of the season. And are you a fan of resting players? I actually didn't ask you that when I was talking about how Moana rested their players because the Hurricanes were coming off a first round bye. They were coming off a 6-day turnaround from Fiji in the hot and humid conditions. But are you a fan of the rest or the rotation?
As a player, no. But I also am not a fan of resting players in round two.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you rest players like Panthers did at the back end of their season, not round two.
Yeah, well, maybe it's because it's a short season compared to
Or you're just throwing a game knowing that if you play all your strongest players, and he's thinking long-term tactically, but is that for the greater of the game? Probably not, because people want to see the best players on the field.
Stars. Absolutely.
And that's why they have big pre-seasons, so players can play that many
They're ready
games.
To go.
But... Yeah. Who knows?
Could I don't
come
know.
Back and prove me wrong.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like it's one of those ones. If you get it right, you look like a genius. If you don't, that's what people will be coming back to it. Mate, you shouldn't have rested him here. Because if you look at the Brumbies, they've had the same squad 3 weeks in a row, and they've gone to Perth. They've won well there. They went to Christchurch, done the unthinkable. I think it's the first time in 26 years an Australian side has won in Christchurch, and they won by 50. And now they're back. And they've kept the same side. So they're obviously not going down that route.
Just a side note. When was the last time Brumbies was this successful?
Got off to this top of start.
George Gregan?
Yeah, I think so. With this top of field. that far back. They've always been very consistent.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're not thinking, even in their consistent sort of time, the last sort of, say, 10 years, you're not saying they're going to win against the Crusaders in Christchurch.
But you said, I remember you saying last year or the year before, for Australia Rugby Union to be successful or to be great,
you have to win over there.
Waratahs have to be, like, usually Waratahs and Reds. Yeah. Waratahs and Reds have to be strong in the Super Rugby tournament. Does that also include Brumbies?
Well, the Brumbies have always been strong, but I think from a financial point of view, it's probably always better that the Waratahs and the Reds, because they can sell out the stadiums.
Yeah, okay.
So that's, and, you know, they've got the biggest player pool compared to the Brumbies. A lot of people that don't make the Tars will go down the Brumbies. So they've always.
So you're saying that opinion on with your corporate hat on.
Corporate hat. That's what I was thinking. I guess I don't even know what my thought process goes to. Sometimes it's just rubbish half the time. But back to Moana Pacifica. Look, they. I think it was like 21 changes they had last week. Only Patrick Pellegrini and Miracle Failangi were the only two starters from that draw win that played against the Hurricanes. So there was plenty of guys, 7 debutants in that game. Now they are pretty much full strength for this game against the Western Force, with the exception of William Havili at fullback. He got injured in that game last week when he came off the bench. So Glenn Vaihu, who was from the Melbourne Rebels, he will play at fullback. So they are full strength, and they are targeting the Western Force. So first home game, anything but a win is probably going to be... Yeah, you're not a pass mark in their books because they've had a long prep for this game.
So where's home for them?
I think this game tonight, they're actually in Pukekohe. Don't ask me whereabouts. I know it's in New Zealand. I've played there once, but it's in Pukekohe.
North, south of Auckland.
Come on. My geography's not great. I don't even know where up and down we are in Sydney.
Okay. So Pukekohe.
Pukekohe. That's where they'll be playing. So there's some potential debuts off the bench. We've got Tupou Afu Nia, he's potentially going to come off the bench, and Te Vita Latu. Look, the Force have won 3 of the last 4 games against Moana, and I really like their number 8, Violini Ekuasi, big Tongan number 8.
The
Force number 8. If he can do some damage, that might give him some hope. But for me, I think Moana are going to be smashing that wheelie bin after
Moana,
the game.
So Moana get the job done,
yep.
But get it done well.
Get it done well. Okay. And they're going to be banging that wheelie bin. It'll probably be broken for them to sing their song. So
keen to hear it.
Yes, me too. Me too. So I think it's going to be a good round. Look, a highlight probably from just one player I want to highlight, probably from the Highlanders, Caleb Tangitao, the winger.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he has got jets. He has got jets.
That run that I seen him do, caught the ball in the back end, slowly... kind of trotted towards the D-line, seeing the gap, and just gassed it straight through.
XL, D-cell, XL, like they...
It actually made me want to go take my sons down to the park. Sprint, D-cell, sprint again.
They're the ones you do your hammy on as well when you're not fast twitch like he is. But I'm really loving Super Rugby. Round 3, and then obviously we're gonna review on Monday, T. So that's us for Rugby Union.
Before we get to big Nemani. Big Nems.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, it is time to chat all things Rugby Union with our former Flying Fijian who is back living in Fiji and helping coaching the Fijian Drua. He's back for the first time in 2026. It is Nemani Nondolo Kurindrani Dholabras.
Welcome back.
Dholabras. Bulla boys, Bulla, thanks for having me.
Oh, it is good to see your face, man. We're here, obviously it's recording on Zoom, but you're looking good, bro. Looking good over there.
Few bags under the eye. But, I'm enjoying it, man. I'm a few long days, but it's all worth it, isn't it?
Hey, we'll get to the draw game shortly, but Sammy said the other week, he goes, bro, I ran into Big Nemani. And he's looking fit, running the water, you know, not one drip of sweat, you know, running to the other side and back with the, you know, holding the
mate, put the GPS on him, those high speed meters, man, back to those 9 second.
It's funny you say that. So that day I ran 3.1 kilometers in warm up. Obviously, we don't know how truthful the Garmin watch is, but I'll take it and. I burnt a lot of calories that day, but yeah, the next day though, my knee buckled. So,
right. One of the funniest things I saw on there was you on the sideline because you can't run water on when there's a penalty kick. So Nems is running on the field with the water to take to the kicker when they're lining up to take a penalty goal. You just hear the sideline official, excuse me, mate, you can't take the water on. And I was like, mate, that's not for the kicker. That's for Nems.
So, don't worry about it. Is that one of the rules?
One of the rules, yeah. You can't take water on during...
Is it not stoppage?
That's what everyone sneaks it on there. Like it's, you know, some of the...
When you're taking the tea and you've got the water at the same time.
I don't know why they don't do that. But Nems, is there anything else that you've found out being a coach or being on the sideline that you can't do, that you've got in trouble for?
For first of all, there's a lot of rules that I didn't know existed as a player. Now as a coach, you're learning a lot of rules. You actually got to learn them because it actually, you know, changes the way you coach. But I think on the sideline, I didn't know you can't get out of that box.
You're going to stay in the box in your zone?
Yeah. Yep. I literally stepped out or I stood up and the guy's like, hey, listen, can you move back in your box? And I was like, oh, sorry, mate. And then anyway, they even do it here in Fiji, so...
So you can't walk up and down the sideline.
No, you've got to stay within your box. Can't move.
In the barrier. And then not only that, you can only, like, there's only a certain amount of people on the sideline. So if your name's not on that list, you got to be away from it. Because apparently you get fines. Like the franchise get fines. So, so that's a lot of learnings off the field as well for myself.
Have you been fined yet?
Not yet. Keyword, not yet.
Not yet. No, well, I haven't. I don't know about the other guys, but I'm sure.
Do you know if the individual gets fined or the organisation pays it?
No, it'll be the franchise. I'd say
because it'll be one of those ones. It'll be the franchise, and then your monthly pay comes and goes. Hey, why has it been deducted here? But let's get into let's get into the Fijian draw at the moment. So obviously, not the start you would have liked. Yep. But what's the mood like in the camp after a couple of losses?
Obviously, as you know, when you face loss of the mood in the camp can be pretty low. But, you know, in saying that, man, in true Fijian fashion, one thing that I've realised, man, like, and for me, it's learning that, like, these boys are just next job, you know? Like, they're happy, you know. Obviously, they care about not, you know, about losing, but the way we've just quickly moved on, and it's a great life lesson for me as well. But, you know, don't get me wrong, the boys have trained really hard. Like, the boys have put in the effort. It's just those key moments that's probably letting us down. And, you know, and it doesn't get easier. We've obviously got the Hurricanes this week, but. Yeah, I think it's just opportunities, not executing them. That's probably let us down. Mm.
Just with those two losses, have the players reacted or the coaching staff reacted and things changed this week leading into round three? Yeah, with the intensity of training, or has they focused on one area? Has there been some kind of change to hopefully find improvements?
Yeah, I don't think the intensity's changed. I think the intensity is there. It's still pretty high. The boys are getting in, wanting to learn. Obviously, we've tweaked a few things in how we want to play. And, you know, obviously, we all know what the Hurricanes can bring. They're, you know, like any New Zealand team, you know, their room for error is pretty low. So, you know, the boys, I think if anything, we have changed probably our mindset around things and how we approach it, doing some of that training. But you know, the intensity is there, the vibe and the good energy is there, you know. And again, I think the best thing about it is that we've actually got a home game. You know, I look back to the Moana game. Moana just beat us. They beat us, out-muscled us, outplayed us. You know, and I said that in the commentary as well. We just didn't rock up. And fair play to Moana. Same thing with the Tars. You know, I felt that we were in it up until probably the last 20 minutes, and, you know, it showed there. So there's a lot of, you know, disappointments, but there's a lot of positives we can take out. So obviously we've obviously got some key injuries that's probably not helping us, but, you know, one thing I like about this team is we adapt and we just try and move on and try and get into the next job.
Hey, Nams, I've got no doubt there's not a lack of effort or people wanting to rip in and try and change those losses into wins over there. But just from watching from the outside and having a look, especially around that first 10 minutes, just some attention to detail. Just, you know, the Waratahs went through that 10 channel. We spoke about it on Monday, just in defence. I was thinking about four or five times they went through that seam,
yeah,
that first defender next to the ruck. There was probably a time where, you know, you got a good set starter off a scrum, get 40 metres, but then you lose 40 metres to then get a kick that goes out on the full. Like, how do you address those type of fundamentals in the game when you're in season? Like, because they're things that, I guess, you know, self-awareness and players should know. Like, it's not a talent thing or an ability thing. But how do you address that?
Well, you know, for me, I think the biggest thing is just obviously putting your hands up and, you know, making that, you know, we need to work in those areas and spaces. And like you said, those lapses in error for us. And we just go back, like I always tell people, Super Rugby is probably the hardest it's been since we've come into the competition 5 years ago. So, you know, teams are much better. Teams are much more fitter. Teams are much more, their attention to detail is, you know, at a new high. And, again, teams, like I said, the two games that we've lost, teams have done their homework, you know. And I think for us it's more things, I think, more mental side of things. Like, you know, when you're missing those kicks, that just comes down to fatigue, or that comes down to a lapse in concentration. You know, we've done things, we've worked particularly with the back three where we're, you know, one thing we're big on, we'd like, you know, work do much better at is talking and communicating. So, you know, I always tell the guys when I was playing, I probably made about four tackles in the last 3 years.
Back in my day once, yes. Is that your role? Yeah. Back in my day, this is how I did it.
No, but it's probably something, I don't know if I should be proud of it, but it's more like you don't need to tackle as wingers. Like, we can really, if we talk and chat and stuff, it's that mindset around, you know, we don't always have to bash them physically or beat them physically. There's ways around it. So it's just having those little conversations amongst the boys and mini teams and how we can get better. And a lot of it is just, you know, I feel communicating, talking, and not necessarily doing it on the field. Because you can't get, like now that you said, we're in the season. It's not like you can get fitter. You're not going to get any, I mean, you can get unfit. I've been there. But
there is a possibility that could happen. I mean,
yeah, so
where their skin folds increased throughout the year.
Yeah. What have you been doing during the week?
Yeah, I probably should have reworded that properly. But yeah, in terms of game plans and stuff. But yeah, you're right. You can sort of add on a few skin folds during the season.
Now, you bring up a good point though. With, yeah, tactically, sometimes it is better to play smarter, not harder. It's probably one way how we end up playing for so long as well, is to be able to, you know, and that comes with experience and, you know, time in the saddle, time on the field.
Yeah.
Let's look at some positives for the Drua. You know, the first couple of weeks and even leading into those couple of weeks, which players have stood out for you that have that you've been impressed with?
Oh, mate, I can't go past Isikeli Rambitu. He's our 10, plays 12, 15. He right now probably is our X-factor guy. And this is probably bad on my part, but he's in the top squad. He's not in the development squad. I didn't know he was 21. He actually looks like he's 35.
Yeah, he played. Didn't he play 20s last year? Carved up.
Yeah, he's D-D like. Squad, yeah. I think he might have finished high school last year, but he's that young. And I was. He's one of like he's one guy that's really him and another guy called Nasila Sila. He's a Sydney boy, so he's those two literally. You know, epitomise like what the club is about, and you know, he's if we can get a few more of them, their work rate, their like they're just you know, we saw looking back and seeing Nasila Sila's game, his chase, his work rate to get through the ball, like you know, it's you know, and that's why you know they signed long contracts here at the club. So yeah, but Roberto is a man of the future. He's really impressed with the way he goes about things, and he's not afraid to like. When you know, he's not afraid to wave the white flag. Like, he just gets in. If he's sore, like, he'll come in and be like, I've got a tight hammy or a tight groin, like, yep, sweet. Take it out. You know, take him out, and he's you see him running again. You know, he's those sort of players that just, I guess, doesn't know pain, but he's had a really good preseason. He was, yeah, we're at that. You know, he's, you know how there's one of those plays in your squad where you have to pull him out because they're actually training too hard or running, you know, they've done everything? He's that guy. So I could only imagine what that would have been like because I was the opposite. I was on the last ones off the field.
Yeah, my hammy's tight. I need to sit out this week.
All right, now be honest with me. Have you tried to plant any seeds of like, oh, I think you need to play a bit of academy as well and try and get into your team?
Yeah. I tried to, and the coaches are like, mate, you're kidding yourself. So.
Absolutely,
but
man.
Speaking of development, we've got a game this week, which is good. We've got our second game, which we're looking forward to. We're playing the national champions, Malolo. So
actually, before we just go back to the Hurricanes game, can you actually explain the scoreline against the Australian Fijians? Because you copped a bit of stick, Nems, for not flogging the Australian Fijians team, but you've told me that the scoreboard was wrong.
Mate, so here I am. First time, this is my first time coaching, or you know, coaching as a head coach of the team. We'd beat them 66-10. And I'm at half time. I'm saying, guys, the scoreboard's not right. Scoreboard's not right. No, it is. It is. They can never get it wrong. Anyway, so we get it. We get back the reviews, and you know, obviously your KPIs that we want them to hit and game line. Head score there, 66-14. I'm straight downstairs, like making the biggest complaint. Hold on, we're getting this. You know, you just put on this, and they're like, "Oh, we thought this was close." No, this is not the score. This is the
scoreline on social media was 40s. It was like 40 something.
Yeah, 45-10.
45-10 on social media.
22 points. And so, yeah, as you can see, it wasn't. I got roasted in there.
In the comments section, who's this coach? What's he doing? But you're saying it was 66-10.
Yeah, that we lost to a bunch of tourists, and I was like. Obviously, I'm not going to buy it like I used to, but I did it. So, and I was like, "Sweet, we'll make a correction." Nope, still waiting.
Still waiting. Nah, all good.
I love how you went into the comment section too, just to see what they were saying. The old tourists. Yeah, we got flogged by the tourists. Hey,
this is mid game. Nems is selling me this too. He's on the sideline. I was like, "Bro, what happened to that game last week?" It's brass. Nah, it was 66-10. They put 44-10. Hey, line out over there. Like he's into it. But hey, with the Hurricanes this week, obviously, big Temo, he's out. That's some, you know, I really love Temo as a leader. But he's going to be out for about 5-6 weeks potentially. But, you know, what do you need to fix this week? Coming up against a Hurricane side that got off to, you know, had a really good win against Moana last week.
Moana, who put 40 on us, you know, here in Lodoka.
Yeah.
Look, like, just going back on Temo, massive leader, massive loss to us. You know, he's one bloke that as soon as he's come in, he's really set that standard. He's really set the tone on standards, and he followed, you know, he's been leading from the front. So to have him away for 6 months, 6 weeks, is 5 to 6 weeks, hopefully earlier, is a big blow. You know, but in saying that, gives up guys opportunities. It's that cliche thing now as a coach, eh? In saying that, gives up guys opportunities.
When one door closes, one door opens.
Oh, mate. How good. I just talk like this in front of the mirror. Anyway. I can't take you serious when I'm not going to be serious.
How good. Oh, we're not here to be serious. No. We're not here to be serious.
Anyway, so there I was, boys. Now, he's a big loss, man. But, you know, in saying that, you know, you asked how we can, you know, the Hurricanes are strong and they had the bye, put 50 on Moana and they're coming here. The biggest thing for us is just starting fast. And you've seen, Mikesy, how we are at the start. We're always knocking heads in the commentary box because the first 15, 20 minutes we're asleep, you know, and it's not until we get a try or a few tries put on us we come alive. And I think we've got to eradicate that. And we've really got to start. We've got to start firm. We've got to start fast and just go from there. Because we know New Zealand teams are 80 minutes, right? But as you know, Sammy, here in Fiji, it doesn't care where you're from. If Fiji draws up, Fiji can beat anyone in their day. And that's the honest truth. And a lot Absolutely. Of teams know that. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of teams will come here that have successfully done here, done well, because what have they done? They've started well. They've played, you know, a game that doesn't suit the way the Drua plays. And the most important thing, they've quiet our fans. So when the fans are quiet, you know, it's thing. But, you know, on the flip side, the boys are really pumped. It's, you know, it's the first, I guess, traditional New Zealand franchise team we're going to be playing. You know, the boys are pumped for it. I think we've got a good opportunity now to go out there and you know, turn the season around.
I think starting fast and getting out of the blocks is a big part of, you know,
yeah.
all sports, whatever game you play.
Yeah.
But I've always wondered, you know, I know that we, you know, when I was playing, that there was something that I'd always wonder, you talk about getting to a start fast. How do you practice that? How do you teach the players, like, this is how we're going to get off to a start fast? Are there specific drills at training that you do? How do you practice starting fast?
Yeah, so one thing we do, obviously, we you know, you try and train how you play. So at trainings, we're at the start of trainings. It's not like your slow warm-ups and drills and skills. We literally start fast. So, you know, we'll be doing drills or we might play 15 on 15 straight away. So we do a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff in the gym before you go out in the field, and it's literally straight into it. You know, you're not warming up as opposed to your traditional sides where you come on, like, you know, traditional times. Styles of training when you come on, you're sort of warming up, doing some skills, warming into it. We're the other way around. We'll do activation, and then we've got drills and stuff that we do that, you know, get on. So when you're on the field, the first 4 minutes is actually boom, 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 and then you go into it. So, yeah, we mimic a lot of that, how we play in our training, I guess, regime or program.
Yeah, I like that.
Man, I'm more of a finish strong type of person. It took me ages to warm up the knees and stuff like that. So finish
strong. Not just here. You have to activate in the shed. So when you're out there, you're already ready.
Nah, still not ready, mate. Still not ready to go. But anyway, who's the player for this week's game that's going to put their hand up and turn it around? For the boys, so the Fijian fans, the Drua fans can get on their feet, make
who's
a bit of noise.
Who's that one to
watch? Who's the one to make sure there's no more bad comments in the comment section of social media? To turn it around.
I'm hoping, and I don't want to put pressure on this kid. Actually, maybe I don't say his name.
Just give me his initials.
What does it rhyme with?
Chochi Nasova.
Oh, the seven superstar.
Yes. I was about to say,
who's the Fijian Adi Savia that's going to turn things around this week?
I like Nasova.
Nasova. Okay. I think, look, he's got given this opportunity. He's worked really hard. Obviously, hasn't played the last 2 weeks. There's been a shift in his attitude and, like, wanting to learn, wanting to get better. And, yeah, he's trained really well. And, you know, I'd love for this guy to just get the opportunity and go. He's starting, so at home, you know, it's in his neck of the wood. He's obviously from Bar.
Oh, so this side, game's so. In Bar as well?
No, it's in Lotoka.
Oh, sorry, yeah, okay.
He's from that around that area, yep. So.
All right.
Yeah, Choshin Osaba would be my guy.
Well, Nems. Unreal work, mate. It's so good to see you. So good to talk footy. And I hope the Drua get the win this weekend for you, the fans, and for all the players. So much love, and we'll check in with you again next week.
See you, boys. Naka.
Naka, mo de bras.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Sammy, I've heard that you've changed our knockout tipping comp this week.
Yeah, I thought I'd change it up a little bit.
With our producer.
Without you.
So give us a rundown on what your thoughts are.
Again, I'm just thinking, you know, how do we change it up just a little bit just to probably bridge that gap? Because there has been some blowout scores, but then we've had to even it up during the season. I have improved in my tipping because I started watching a bit more rugby league. But I just thought this time around, I'd love to have a lock. You know, so one thing that we believe that, yeah.
So a lock in, a guarantee. A lock in,
guarantee this is going to win. But I also thought we should choose a smoky every week. The
You love that word.
I love that smoky team.
You love that word. Yes. So what does smoky mean?
Well, I feel like it. I have to sort of ask you. So for this Vegas game, yeah, are the Dragons a smoky against the Dogs?
Well, how do we determine who's a smoky? Well, is it just like we have to agree?
We agree. And obviously, I think the table will tell throughout the year. So smoky, if someone's coming last.
Good example in Union, the drawer would be a good smoky against the Canes.
The Canes. And we have to choose one.
So the not favourite
team. The not favourite team. Exactly. Okay. So,
and then we go, we're both picking a lock-in and a smoky from our own codes.
Yep.
And then that's it.
That's it.
And then we keep the score.
Yep.
Throughout, and you can pick
should we do it through our own codes? Or like, do we go one from, so it's like four picks in total?
Oh, no, you've come up with the game this week.
I came up with the game about 7 minutes ago in my head.
No, I reckon we stick to our own codes, but you're not allowed to choose the same team 2 weeks in a row.
Is that for, say, the lock-in? What about the smoky?
For both.
Oh, really?
So you're not allowed to pick the same team 2 weeks in a row. So if I pick this week, we'll be
okay.
All.
I like
NRL's
it.
Yep. A bit different because yep. There's two round one weekends.
Okay.
But if I choose the Tigers as my smoky, the next week I can't choose them as my smoky.
Okay, fair enough. But hey, and we can tweak throughout the year. If it's a lead balloon and it's not going well, we'll change the rules.
And just a reminder, we've agreed that the loser buys the winner a nice island feed.
Of your choice.
Of my choice.
Of
so
your
if
choice.
I win,
yeah.
I tell you what to bring
yep.
out.
You know, okay. If you want a full waka,
full pig,
yeah, I've got that for you, Kaz. I'll dunno it myself outside. I'll turn it.
All right. Make sure this is recorded.
This is recorded.
All right.
Damn it. All right, here we go. So what is your lock?
Well, I've only got two games to pick from.
Yep.
So my lock-in, I know the Dragons are going to, they are the smoky. I believe that the Bulldogs are the favourite. But I just see the way, off the momentum of last year, they'll want to prove themselves from getting knocked out two games in a row. They do have Viliami. They do have Stephen Crichton. I'm going to go Bulldogs as my lock-in.
Bulldogs is a lock. Okay, I like it. And yep. Then your smoky.
My smoky will be
Newcastle
Knights.
I'd say they are the smoky for this one.
Well, I think they're not, but others may, but I'm going the Knights to beat the Cowboys. That's my smoky. I've only got two games to pick from.
Yeah, I know, but I like them. I think that evens out well because I would have thought, the Cowboys are the favourites. But anyway, I don't know.
Or should we go, you can pick league and
that's
Union.
That's what I was saying.
I could pick Union as well because I want you to pick some league
games.
Yeah,
I want to pick some league games too.
All right, so we can pick from both codes.
All right, but only two.
Only two.
Okay, well, I'm going to go the Dragons as my smoky. Because I'm just not feeling the draw yet.
Beautiful. I like that. So there's already someone.
Yeah.
There's already someone that's going to lose a point here.
Yeah. So I'm going to go the Dragons. And then from Union, I think my lock will be.
You can't go against the draw. You can't. We just spoke to Nems, man.
It's the Hurricanes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. He won't know. No one's listening. So, that's my lock. Hurricanes. And my smoky is the Dragons.
Can I change my Bulldogs one? My lock-in?
Yeah, go for it.
I reckon I change that to the...
The Reds
versus
the Highlands?
Going? How are the Reds going?
They had a bye last week and they lost their first round, got a hide-in against the Tars. It's probably not a bad one, bro.
What, the Landers? Landers are short.
I like
thing.
The Landers.
I would have went in that can.
Even though the Reds are at home, I like the Landers. Or you go Moana Pacifica as a sure thing.
You know what? Let's go Moana.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm going Moana.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
So, I like that game.
I like it. I like it. See, there's more communication back and forth for this one. That's what I like about it.
Well, beautiful. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend and we'll see everyone
on Monday.
On Monday. Ka kite.